Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. And what I really appreciate is how we started this meeting. I love that song. It's kind of near and dear to my heart because I served in the military for 6 years. And how many of you served in the military, active duty military? Yeah, thank you. Probably over half of this room, it looked like. And so I kind of have a soft spot for that. I served in a war that some of you might have never heard about. It was called the Iran-Contra Rebel War. Have you guys ever heard of that? Who's heard of that war? Okay, some of you. You guys, of course, the Americans weren't involved in that war, right? Well, we were. And so I really appreciated how we started that. Today I'm going to talk about referral marketing. And if we can get the technician up here, we can get this device working. I am the author of the Small Business Marketing Bible, also the Instant Referral Systems Program, and a bunch of other of these things. You know, I used to provide consulting services and coaching services, and then I got tired of talking to people on the phone and people telling me that won't work, and so I went into the publishing business. So now I publish all my unique and crazy and weird ideas about how to get more clients. I also do some work with the Small Business Development Center on a national and a state level. I train a lot of their business coaches. I don't know if you guys knew this, but the largest free consulting practice in the United States is sponsored by the Small Business Development Center. And so I train a lot of their coaches and consultants. But my real life, if you really want to know who I am, this is my real life. It's not my business life. This is my real life. That's my wife, Ingrid, my two children. Ingrid is the best wife who walks on the planet Earth, so I'm sorry for all you guys. There was only one of them, and I got her. No, she's a wonderful lady, and we went to BYU here. I'm a alumni, and I got to tell you that how many of you, don't show me your hands, how many of you have this little dream of going back and talking at your alma mater? You know, I have. I've always had that little dream, and so when I got the call, I'm just thrilled with that, and I can tell you, honestly say that I'm more thrilled with this opportunity right now than I've ever been with any other speaking gig. Those are my two kids, Sterling and Alina. We adopted them at birth, and they are just wonderful, wonderful children. So that's my real life. Today, we're going to look at some referral marketing best practices. We're going to talk about what the best are doing in the business today. And a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk to you about is not so much philosophical. I'm going to throw a little bit of philosophical stuff in there, but most of it is going to be very actionable, stuff that you can do on a Monday morning. And all of these things I'm going to talk about, you're going to be able to apply to your practice. But there are a lot of laws and regulations regulating this industry. So, you know, take what I say and then try and mold it into what is right for you, okay? Many of the things that I'm going to talk about today will include sending cards. And the reason for that is because about a year and a half ago, I discovered this system that allows me to send greeting cards through the internet. And so it powers a lot of my referral marketing tactics, and you'll see how that works. We're also going to do some voting, so we're going to have a little bit of fun. Will you do me a favor? I've given you a sheet on your seat. I want to add value to you. I want to give you more than just what I give you on the stage today. And so I have some valuable stuff that I would like to give to you free. I have a referral newsletter that goes out that's really cool. It's got all kinds of unique ideas for getting referrals. I have an audio program called How to Get All the Referrals You Can Handle, and I want to give that to you. And also, I want to give you a book called 101 Unique Referral Gift Ideas. That'll come in very, very handy. I use it all the time. Whenever I want to give a gift, I go in that book. I kind of see what that person's personality type in. I click into it, and there's a very unique gift that you can give them that's really affordable. So it helps you come up with different referral gift ideas. There's a quote by a guy named Timothy Welsh. He was the founder of CFP Nexus Strategy. He says, ask any seasoned financial advisor where the majority of their new clients come from, and 7 out of 10 of them will tell you they come from a referral. Yet when we ask advisors to articulate their marketing and sales plans for the coming year, this reality, which is referral marketing, is rarely mentioned as a specific strategy. He goes on to say, but our research with leading advisory firms shows that those firms growing north of 40% per year have not only a concerted focus on referrals, they recognize it as their number one tactic for growing their business. And so there's this dichotomy. I mean, you know, all advisors say that referrals are very important, and but you'll find that a lot of the advisors aren't doing a lot of referral marketing. But then when you ask the top of the top guys, they say that their referral marketing is the number one tactic for them. And so there's this kind of imbalance in the industry. So let me just tell you that what I'm going to share with you today will change your financial services practice forever if you implement just a little bit of what I'm talking about. I think it was Brian Morin yesterday who said, it's not who you know and it's not who knows you, it's what you can implement. Isn't that right? Okay, because the marketplace will reward you not for who you know or what who knows you, but what you can implement. And so if you just take one of the strategies I'm going to give you today and make a concerted focus to implement that in your practice, I promise it's going to change your practice. Okay, so let's start with a little bit of fun. Let's start voting, okay? We have given out to 32 random people in the audience some little voting machines, and we're gonna see what's going on out there in the industry. Okay, those of you who got the voting things, pull them out of your pocket and let's vote. The question is, do you have an up-to-date written referral marketing plan? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Go ahead and vote. Do it right here. Keep voting, 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 voting. Hold it up high. Make sure you're getting this thing right here. I only have 4 responses. Vote, vote, vote. Keep voting. Vote, vote, vote. You think we were in Florida, right? Okay, hold it up and try and hit this IR device. Well, I hope it gets better from there. If not, we might have to hand those things right into the middle, just some people in the middle. Wow! That doesn't surprise me. Okay, 80% of the people don't have a written referral marketing plan of the 5 that that voted. So the first best practice is to create a written referral marketing plan, okay? A written referral marketing plan. So why do you want to use a written referral marketing plan? Well, you guys know that it's not a goal until it's written. And when it's written, then it becomes a promise. You know, goals aren't anything unless you actually do something with them. Promises are a whole lot stronger. And so you want to write something down. A written plan forces you to think strategically and out of the box. How many of you read The E-Myth? You guys know? Oh, excellent. Okay, so you guys know when I say working on your business instead of in your business, you guys know what that means, right? When you sit down to write a plan of any type for your business, at that point, you're actually working on your business versus in your business. Those small businesses who fail 80% of the time spend 80% of their time working in their business and not strategically on their business. And so when you do a plan, it forces you to do that. And it forces you to think out of the box. It gives you space. You know, in the consulting world, what we used to do is, after every engagement, we would say, there was this little thing, we have to have space. And for every project, we had space. And what we would do is we would go to an offsite or something like that, and we would evaluate the project, what we could do better. Okay? So it gives you space to think out of the box. A written plan gives you a tool that you can use to give marching orders to employees to measure your progress. This is very important. Unless it's written down, how many of you tried to give instructions to your employees, never wrote anything down, you're frustrated that they don't do what you're told to do or they do it wrong, right? Well, whose fault is that? That's ours, the employer's fault. Those people in my office know that I get very frustrated with them sometimes, but then I stop and think at the end of the day, whose fault really was it? It wasn't their fault. It was my fault because I didn't take time to train them. It also gets everyone on the same page. I mean, if you ever seen in your office where people are just thinking different things, well, I didn't know you wanted me to do that. You didn't tell me to do that. You told me to do it that way. I didn't know that that's what you meant. Doesn't that happen a lot? A marketing plan will allow everybody to get on the same page and clarify where you're going. And so I think for 2008, or on Monday morning, you should go home or to your office and sit down and write out a marketing plan. Now, do I think you should write this big, hairy, audacious marketing plan that's 30 pages long? No, because that never gets implemented. I promise you, on one page, you can put your referral marketing plan. On one page. You can. Okay, let's try and vote again. Okay, I want to really have some fun with this. So, out of the 32, I have 5 votes. So this is what I would like to do. This is going to be kind of a cluster, I'm sorry. But those people who have those those people who are right up here, right in the middle, who do not have a device in their hand, right up here in the middle, raise your hand right now, real high. Those people on the sides, go ahead and give them to them. Okay, those of you who have them, go ahead and vote. Do you have a referral marketing manager? A referral marketing manager. In other words, do you have a position in your company? Is that going to get any better? A position in your company. Okay, nobody does. I expected that. Let's talk about this for a minute. Okay? The best practice is to hire a referral marketing manager. And I would go so far as to say is, who's the very first, if you're a solo financial advisor, who's the first person do you want to hire? An administrative assistant to get out from my, I mean, if there's one mistake that I've made in my own business, that I waited too long to get a personal assistant. You know, I tried to do it for 2 years by myself. What a mistake that was. So that was my, I would honestly say you should get an administrative assistant first, but the next person you ought to get, if you're a financial advisor, would be a referral marketing manager. Why? Because that person allows you to leverage your time and efforts. And if you ask any multimillionaire what their secret to success is, the smart ones will tell you that it was their ability to leverage themselves, leverage their knowledge, leverage their time, and leverage their finances. You know, most of the multimillionaires are from real estate industry, right? Because the real estate industry allows you to leverage your finances. Okay, if you guys want to go out and get more referrals, you need to leverage your time and efforts. And that's what a referral marketing manager allows you to do. That's what good employees allow you to do. They provide focus on your most critical marketing strategy. Okay, you should spend a significant amount of time servicing your clients and doing face-to-faces. Okay, not running systems. When you have a person that's just dedicated to that one thing, you automatically provide focus to that one thing. And what you provide focus to is what you will achieve. Am I right? What you provide focus to is what you will achieve. It also develops in-house expertise and skills in the most critical area of your business. Remember going back to that quote at the very beginning where the top north 40%, the top of the top guys, They say that the number one critical element in their business is getting referrals. Their number one critical marketing tactic is getting referrals. Well, this allows you to develop your expertise and skills in that area. And you'll finally be able to implement all those great referral ideas that all the gurus talk about. You know, I told Blake this last night. I feel like I'm teaching soccer to a bunch of Pelés. All right, there is no industry that gets taught about referral marketing more than the financial services industry. Let me tell you that. I talked to a lot of industries. But there is no industry that people are more educated about referral marketing tactics. In fact, some of the things I'm going to show you today, oh, I've seen that. I know that exists. So the question is can you implement it? It's not who you know. It's not who knows you. It's can you implement it? Okay? So when you have a referral marketing manager, it will allow you to implement those things. And I promise you, that person will have the highest ROI of any of your staff. Okay, let's give it a whirl. Do you focus your marketing on a specific industry occupation? Okay, what that means is like doctors, lawyers, I mean industry occupation. Do you focus your practice on a specific industry occupation? Okay, interesting, good. So we've got a mix. We've got a mix of people that do that. Let's talk about that for a moment. Okay, because the next best practice is selecting a niche and focusing only on that one niche. Okay, now I know a lot of you guys do seminar marketing. And when you do seminar marketing, you probably send out lots and lots of mailers to a certain demographic, right? In a sense, that is niche marketing. But I'm going to tell you about the four different types of niches. One is geographic. You know, realtors, they do this thing called farming. So they'll take a community and they'll say, I want to be on the top of everybody's mind in that community, so when anybody thinks about a realtor, they're going to think about me. That's geographic niche. Then you have a demographic niche. This is what I just talked about. Okay, Mary is 35. She makes, you know, $75,000 a year. That's a demographic. Psychographic. Psychographic is based on habits, interest, and what people buy, consumer buying patterns. This really is the most powerful type of niche, because what you're going to find in psychographics are those guys that are freaks about stuff. You know, like, who plays golf at least once a week? Who plays it twice a week? Wow, that's pretty cool. Nobody? Usually golfers are freaks, and they go like three times a week, you know? And they are willing to pay all kinds of sums of money to buy the best clubs, to buy anything that gives them that slight little edge. That's why it's nice going after psychographic niches, because they're willing to spend. And then you have occupational niches. Occupational niches like doctors and lawyers and CPAs and mortgage brokers and those types of guys. Okay, I like going after those types of niches. I think you advisors ought to consider focusing on at least one occupational niche, so that whatever city you live in, you are the advisor for doctors. Okay? For instance, why should you focus on a niche? Number one, you can focus on specific needs so your message and service offerings become crystal clear. Have you ever talked about what you did and the guy's just eyes just glass over? Well, it's because you did not solve a problem for them. So when people ask me what I do, I say I work with people who are struggling to generate more referrals. So if you're struggling to generate more referrals, what's going to happen in your mind? You're automatically going to be interested. And the next thing you're going to say, well, how do you do that? Okay, it's problem-based. When you focus, let's say, on mortgage brokers have very specific problems that they're faced with in that industry. In fact, there's one person in the internet marketing industry. You can go to her site. It's called taxmama.com. She focuses on internet marketers because we have very specific problems. I do business with people in Indonesia and Australia. I wake up in the morning, I see orders from Kazakhstan. I can't even pronounce it. I got one guy in Kazakhstan that buys all my stuff. Anytime I put out some, this guy buys it. And it's hard to even ship stuff to him. So I have, now that there's some specific implications financially for those types of transactions. This lady knows exactly what to do and how to save me money. So all the internet marketing gurus go to this lady. So she automatically gets business for the mere fact that she is focusing on a niche. People want specialists, and they're willing to pay money for a specialist. In fact, if I had two consultants standing in front of me, and I'm the buyer, and I'm in the tire industry, and one is and they're both manufacturing consultants, and this guy on my left has a lot of experience, and this guy's got a decent amount of experience, but all he does is the tire industry, and he's seen all the tire plants in America, who am I going to hire? The specialist. And am I willing to pay a premium for that guy? Yes, I am. Your ability to easily and affordably contact this prospect dramatically increases. This might be the most important part. Okay? You are a niche. Perhaps if I was smart, I would target you. And why is that? Because you are having a symposium in which I can be a speaker at and talk to a bunch of people in that niche at one time. See, industry niches provide different mechanisms for getting in contact with people. They have seminars, they have expos, they rent mailing lists. Your name's being rented on a mailing list right now. You can just look in your mailbox, you know that. There are websites you go to. What's the biggest website that you guys go to in your industry? Come on, there's one mama, big mama out there. Like, you guys don't go to the internet, do you? No internet people here. Producer's Web? You ever been to Producer's Web? Hold up your hand who has been to Producer's Web. Wow. Okay, hold up your hand if you have a high-speed internet connection. Woo! Okay, you guys, write that down. Go to producersweb.com. Because that's where you should be hanging out and getting more information. Okay? I can easily become a writer for Producer's Web. So when you niche, it provides mechanisms for you to stand in front of people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Instead, you're going to pay tons of money, mass advertising, to every Tom, Dick, and Harry just to find the guys that are interested in you. It's expensive to do that. I'll talk more about that. Niches are like beehives, and everybody talks to each other in a niche. Okay, yesterday I came up here for one of the things, and I saw everyone standing out in the hall, you know, talking to each other. Why? Because you guys are interested in the same thing. Because that's what you do 8 hours a day or more. And so people in a niche naturally talk to each other. So if you're the guy, you're the most well-known guy in a niche, then who are they going to talk about? You! So you're going to get natural referrals. Does that make sense? Natural referrals? All right, well, let's keep going. All right, did you use a referral agreement or contract with your five newest clients? That's the five most recent clients. Did you use a referral agreement or a contract with them? Everybody here. If you used a referral agreement or contract with your five newest clients, please raise your hand. Okay, less than 10%. Okay, utilize a pre-service referral promise contract. By the way, remember I talked about a referral marketing plan at the beginning? I hope that you guys are devising your referral marketing plan right now. I'm looking down at that note sheet and there's nothing on it. Okay, I hope you guys are creating your referral marketing plan right now. Create a checklist. In fact, if you guys want this presentation, make sure you give me your email address and I'll send you a PDF of this. I'll send you a PDF of this presentation. Okay, remember what I said at the very beginning? I'm going to give you guys ideas. And you, by the way, I do know financial advisors that use a contract. Okay, so I know it's being done. But you guys, I don't know all the rules and regulations or whether your broker is going to let you do that or not. So take these ideas and try and insert them into your own practice. Okay? A referral promise contract is a contractual understanding entered into between you and your prospect before you agree to do business together that proactively seeks to create a referral relationship. By the way, let me say one more thing about that. I'm glad that you asked that. Okay? Instead of saying, it can't be done, say, how can I make it be done? That's what successful people do. Not say you're not successful. I mean, I'm glad you asked that. Instead of saying, my broker won't let me do it, say, how can I do this so that it can be legal, so I can use a best practice? Okay? Change your attitude, and you'll change your life. Okay, why do you want to use a pre-service referral promise contract? Number one, it sets dual expectations. It sets expectations for you, and it sets expectations for your client. Okay? How many agree that setting expectations is important with your client? Okay. Let me tell you that if you sit down and you talk to your client to set expectations and you walk away from the table without ever having anything written down or they saw anything, that was a useless conversation. Because they will never remember it. They just won't. Humans don't do that. It also eliminates surprises. Okay, you don't want to get into the relationship and then pop them with a referral question. You want to start at the very beginning with expectations that is how you, what, get paid, right? And a contract is a great way to do that. It also establishes a benchmark so that you can go back and see for yourself if you've lived up to the things that you've promised to that client. And it gives you a chance to educate people about referrals. It gives you a tool that creates that time to educate them. And it simply gives you a reason to ask for referrals. Hey, we talked about this. We agreed on that. Would you be willing to? Do you know a person who... Okay, it allows you to do that. this is what one of those contracts might look like. Again, please, no arrows. No flaming arrows, Abby. Make this so that it can work for you and that you might be able to get some improvement. These are just ideas. For instance, Bay Area Advisor clients are the most important. Here's what you want to do on this contract. Let me just show you. Okay? See the first six things? The first six things are all about what you're going to do. So you're telling the client, I'm going to do this for you. 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 And at the very end, you tell them what you expect from them, and that's referrals. So by the time you're done, they're going, if I do all these six things, would you be willing to send me referrals? I'm telling you, 10 out of 10 times, they're going to say yes. 10, I've never had it happen differently. Never. Okay? So some of these things are, Bay Advisor clients are the most important people in our business. Whether they're visiting in person, by mail, or by phone, they deserve a timely response to all inquiries and contacts. Bay Advisors will meet with you personally on a quarterly basis to review your financial objectives, your investment portfolio, and advise you on any important economic changes. Okay, these are things that you're going to do for them. And then, of course, you get to the bottom of the contract, and it says, if all of our clients' expectations are met and they are satisfied with our service, Bay Advisors anticipates our clients to introduce at least X amount of people whom they feel can benefit from our services. Okay? That makes sense? Let me tell you that the people, the small business people that I have talked to and introduced this concept to and are using has revolutionized their business. This one little contract. I do some work in the pool building industry, believe it or not, pool builders. And the number one pool builder in America, independent pool builder in America, implemented this concept. And it raised his referrals by over 70%. Okay. Last month, did you recognize your top referrer to your entire network? Last month, did you recognize your number one referrer to everybody in your network? Now, when I use the word network, I don't mean just your clients. I mean everybody that you are keeping in touch with on a consistent basis. Everybody in your network. Everybody. Last month, did you recognize your top referrer to your entire network? Those of you who did, raise your hand. You can honestly say, one, two, raise it high. One, two, be proud of that. Three. Okay. Three people. So a best practice is to recognize people for giving you referrals. So why is recognizing people for referrals very important? Before I answer that, what I want to do is I want to distinguish the difference between thanking a person and recognizing them, because they're vastly different. Thanking is a one-to-one thing. John, thank you very much for your referral. It means a lot to my practice. Thank you. We're in some private place, or, you know, we're meeting in my office. Okay, where's Todd Johnson? Is he in here this morning? Todd Johnson, did he go home? No, I'm sorry. The guy who did a presentation yesterday. This is Todd Johnson who did a presentation yesterday. Did he leave? Because he did an awesome, awesome presentation. Okay, you're Todd Johnson. Come on, stand up. I love this presentation. So yeah, he was wishing he was here, huh? He's missing out. You should have came to my presentation. I want all of you guys to know that Todd Johnson gave one of the best beginning producers presentations that I've ever attended. In fact, he told a story in there that I'll probably never forget about people staying in the boat. How many of you were in it and remember that story? I bet you will always remember that story. He told a story about staying in the boat. That was one of the finest presentations that I have ever attended, and I want everybody to know that. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you all for that recognition.
Okay, do you see the difference? Get the difference? All right, thanking is one thing, but recognizing is in a completely different league. A completely different league. Recognition is the most powerful motivational force for a human. It's much more motivational than gifts and money. which, of course, you guys can't give. But it, when you recognize somebody, that is more motivating than anything that you can do. And so if you want people to give you referrals, you need to recognize them. Let everybody know. There's a couple things that it does. When you recognize a person for giving you a referral, it reinforces that behavior. All you moms know that, right? When you got kids, and you say, little Johnny, thank you for saying you were sorry to your little sister and not slapping her in the head. That was good, little Johnny. All right, little Johnny's going to think next time he slaps his sister in the head, he's going to think about that, right? I'm talking about my son. No, he doesn't slap my sister. He doesn't do that, but he does get on my little five-year-old. My son's 10. Boy, he incessantly. Is that natural? Because, I mean, I don't got a lot of kids. I only got two. Okay. My kids aren't weird and out of the ordinary. Okay, so when you recognize a person for giving you a referral, it reinforces that behavior, and they will become better referrers. Okay? When you recognize a person in public, what it does is it passively sends a message to others that referrals are important to you. So it sends an unwritten message to them that referrals are an important part of your business. Okay, here's just some ideas. You guys have probably heard about the limousine idea. Remember your old Pele's? You've probably heard this before. So you have a client appreciation event, and you invite your top referrers. And your top referrer, or maybe your two or three top referrers, you go send a limousine to pick them up and bring them to your the client referral event. And at the event, you stand up and you say, I think all of you might have noticed that Linda Morrell came in a limousine tonight. And let me tell you, I want to tell you why. Because she referred over 15 people to our firm last year in the last 12 months. And I just want to thank her for doing that. Thank you, Linda. And everybody claps, right? All right, everyone claps for Linda. Okay, what does that do? It recognizes Linda in front of it. Do you think that she will give you more referrals? Yes. What does it do to the people at the referral event? It plants a seed very strongly in their mind. So I know some of you who have referral events probably don't want to go, you know, this is a referral event and you should give me referrals. There's a lot of subversive things that you can do psychologically to send a very powerful message to them while they're there at that event that referrals are very important to your business. This is one of them. The newsletter method. How many of you send out a newsletter once a month, a written newsletter? Maybe it's by your company. Hold up your hand so I can really see. Okay, that's probably less than 10% too. A written newsletter to where you actually put their pictures in there and recognize them to everybody. Now, this does a couple things. It recognizes them in front of everybody, but it also helps. You're actually referring them. Okay? So, using the newsletter method, you can recognize them. Now, let me show you how to put that on steroids, okay? This is with this system I use, the send-out card system. What you can do with the system is upload a photo, and it actually can become the front of the card. Everyone see that, right? Okay, so here's a situation where John Bender, who's a CPA, he has referred this financial advisor a lot of people. And so on the front of the card, it says, thank you, John. Congratulations to John Winder, who has sent our firm. This is just an example, not a real card that went out. You probably already see it. I have three or four misspellings anyways. Okay, who has sent our firm 15 referrals in the past 12 months. Okay, and there's a little note about thank you very much. And there's his business card. You can upload a business card into this system and put it up there. And then it says, if you're looking for a CPA who understands entrepreneurship and can save you taxes, I highly recommend you call John. So now what does that do? You send that card out to everybody. By the way, in the system, if you have all your network in a group, you can create this card. This card took me about 4 minutes to create, and you can push a button, and that card will be sent out to everybody. It actually goes out of a facility in Salt Lake City, and it will go out to everybody. Okay? So within, 4 minutes, you can literally put this into place. And what this does is now it refers John. So he's going to get business from this. And remember the give-to-give principle, or give-to-get. When you give, you'll always get. That's a law of the universe. That's not my law. It's not some religious law. It's a law of the universe. When you give, you will get. And it does work. So this is a pretty cool little method that works. And so, you know, you do that once a month. Maybe you do that once a quarter with your best referrer. And you use the newsletter method. And you use the limousine method. And you've got your referral marketing, what's their name? Referral marketing manager doing this stuff for you. At no point in time did you have to do a face-to-face with any of these things. But does it produce referrals? Yes. Success is all about leveraging your time. It's all about leveraging your time. And you can see in just in these three tactics how you can leverage your time. Okay, the question is, have you contacted your entire network, everyone in your network, at least once in the last 20 days? We're not even going to do that voting thing anymore. Everyone, raise your hand who has contacted everybody in their entire network in one way or another in the last 20 days. Let's see your hands. Okay, that's probably about three people. Okay? Let's talk about this. I want to talk about pinging your network. So even though these are things you might have already heard about, obviously you need to hear them again, right? So I hope I'm not blowing smoke for you guys. Okay. Yes. Oh, thank you. Who's the Telenotes guy? Where's the Telenotes guy? He's not in here? Man, look at all these opportunities these guys are missing out on. Okay, Telenotes is that system where you can call up on your phone and take notes, and they will put it in a database. So let's say you're at a referral meeting down at your local chamber of commerce, and you meet, you know, these five people. So you got your little Telenotes with you, right? So after that meeting, or in between little meetings, you pull that little phone out. You know, I just met Arlene Padilla Arenas, and she is from Bountiful, Utah, and she is with AXA Advisors. And what's the name of your kid? Do you have any kids? What's the name? Josh? Josh, Andre, and Cole. And how old are they? Okay, I won't ask that question. Okay, we've got Josh, Andre, and Cole, and she loves to go jet skiing. You put that in your pocket. Okay, now that person, and you do that with all these five people, now they become part of your network because you're going to follow up with them. Okay, when I say network, it's everybody that knows you. Everybody knows you. Okay, I have over 51,000 people in my network. Actually, no. 51,000. I probably have more like 70,000 people in my network. Because I got a newsletter that goes out to 51,000 people, and I've got another newsletter that goes out to about 20,000 people. MarriageAdvice.com. That's my website. That's another one of my websites, MarriageAdvice.com. My little pet project to help people in their marriages. They know me too. So literally, I've got over 70,000 people that know me. Okay, how do I touch them on a weekly basis? With my newsletter. And I'll show you guys how to do that in just a moment. So you got to ping your network. I hope that I answered that question because I'm glad that you asked that. In fact, I was even going to put a slide at the very beginning. I'm going to say the word network a lot, and I want to define that for you. But it's everybody that knows you. Remember I said it's not everyone that you know. Because do you think I know 70,000 people? Man, I look in the mirror in the morning, I barely remember my name. So, no, I don't get them by name, but it's everyone that knows you. So that's your network, okay? Now, the best practice is that you should ping your network once every 20 days or 18 times a year. Studies have shown that's what people want. Keith Ferrazzi, who's the author of Never Eat Alone, says, if 80% of success is, as Woody Allen once said, just showing up, then 80% of building and maintaining relationships is just staying in touch. I call it pinging. It's a quick, casual greeting, and it can be done in any number of creative ways. It's called pinging your network. Let's talk about that for a moment. Okay? A recent Forrester research study, this is pretty interesting, revealed that senior clients want three things from a relationship with a financial advisor. Three things. Number one, they want to understand what they are buying. Okay. Number two, they want for someone to be in control of their investments rather than having a feeling of abandonment. And number three, they want frequency of contact. Now you look at those three things, and you'll see that those two are all about what? Relationship. They want contact with you. They want to hear from you on a very frequent basis. Okay? So, those of you who are in this industry, I mean, you should be a freak about staying in touch with your network at least once every 20 days. I'll show you how to do that in just a sec. I call this micro-branding. Okay, you guys know what branding is, right? Coca-Cola brands us, Nike does branding, all these big companies do branding. But they pay a ton of money to do branding, right? This is called micro-branding. Micro-branding imprints your name on the minds of people in your network by consistently pinging them over a long period of time. I am standing in front of you today as a result of micro-branding. I'll tell you that story in just a sec. But I'm standing here today as a result of micro-branding. So it works. Micro-branding versus macro-branding. Some financial services companies do macro-branding. That means they spend a lot of money by putting these big commercials on TV to the general public. That's macro-branding. Okay? Macro-branding relies on mass advertising, while micro-branding relies on targeted pinging. It's extremely expensive to macro-brand. You can't afford radio and television. Well, hey, some of you probably can, but the majority can't, okay? But micro-branding is relatively inexpensive. Macro-branding targets everyone. And guess what? If everyone is your prospect, no one is your client. That's a writer-downer, okay? If everyone is your prospect, no one is your client. And so if you're not niching or targeting, then you're going to struggle in this industry. That's all there is to it. Micro-branding targets your private network. Macro-branding uses general messages because they're going out to the general audience. Micro-branding uses very specific messages. And what are in those messages? They're problem-based messages. They're problem-based messages because people react to problems. Macro-branding focuses on a product or a company, while micro-branding focuses on you. It makes you the celebrity. Macro-branding requires message frequency, and so does micro-branding. That's what branding is all about, is frequency, message frequency. Okay? So how do you ping your network every 20 days? Okay, everybody stand up for me. Just stand up for a moment, because it is early in the morning. I didn't sleep well last night. I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't sleep well last night. And I think you guys need to just stand up for a moment, right? Probably listening. I see some people yawning out there. I had that reaction on some people. Okay? So just stand up for a moment. Get the stretches out. Go, practice your karate that you guys know. All right? Tai Chi, Jiu-Jitsu. All right. Stay standing just for a moment. How do you ping your network every 20 days? Well, you can do it through monthly phone conversations. Maybe that's what you agreed to in the contract. You can do quarterly updates meetings face-to-face. I think you guys ought to be doing this as a base. I mean, John, does that seem reasonable for a financial advisor to do a monthly phone conversation and a face-to-face quarterly update meeting? Okay, you guys can sit down. Now, you can also send a weekly email newsletter. Okay? I am here as a result of a weekly email newsletter that I send out. And it's not your everyday old newsletter. It's a different newsletter. Let me show you that newsletter. This is my website. Notice I brand me. And I'll send out an email to my entire list, and I'll tease them a little bit. Just like at the end of the newscast where they say, and a 8-year-old boy fell out of a 5-story building. We're going to tell you what happened right after this commercial break. Okay, they tease you, right? So you tease them a little bit, you send them to a link, and then I like the next best thing to shaking hands. Hello and welcome to the Marketing Best Practices video newsletter. My name is David Fry, and I'm the author of the Small Business Marketing Bible.
Branding.
How would you like to be the go-to person or the guru in your local city?
Would you like to have the ability to set yourself apart from all your other competition so that you would become the only local solution provider for your prospects? What would it mean to you if your business, if you were considered the expert at what you do and you were the very first person that people thought about when they were in need of your services?
That's what you guys want, right?
That's exactly what could happen to you if you follow the marketing strategy I'm going to talk to you about today.
Oh, that's it. Not going to let you know what it is. Okay, so what I do is I send out videos. Okay, this has revolutionized my business. Okay, I used to send out text, email, newsletters, and that was really good. But now I send out little messages in video format so that people can see me. They can hear me. Okay, when Blake Taylor was one of the people that were responsible for getting me here, Blake, please stand up. Everyone give Blake Taylor a hand. He's top of the top. Told you I'd embarrass you. Okay, Blake receives my newsletter. He receives my video newsletter. And one of the very first things he told me when we finally shook hands, he's one of those 70,000 people that knew me that I didn't necessarily know. But Blake has probably bought most of my products. Okay? When I make a recommendation, he usually buys it because he trusts me. He's never met me. Never shaken my hand one time. But when he did, you know what he said? He says, I feel like I already know you, David. Now, how would you like to have that response from somebody in your local area? Remember, being a successful financial advisor is all about gaining the trust and relationship from somebody. This does it on a one-to-many basis. If you attend my workshop this afternoon, I'll show you exactly how I do this. I'll even tell you the components. And you can do this for less than $2,000 to $3,000. It's very, very simple. Anybody could do this. It's very simple. I'll show you a few services that I pay a very nominal fee every month for and how it gets done. But I'll explain a little bit more of that in my workshop. But this is something that I use to ping my network. I use that to ping my network. That makes sense? Now, another thing is an automated stay-in-touch greeting card system will allow you to do that. So, for instance, I have an auto. There's an auto dealership in Houston, and what they do is every time someone buys a car from them, they have this campaign set up in the send-out card system. They have this campaign, and a card will go out every other month. So, when they sell a car, they put the name into the send out cards, and they attach them to this campaign, they push a button, and for the next 2 years, they send out 12 cards. For the next 2 years, that person gets touched. And it has dramatically increased the number of referrals that they've been receiving. And guess how much it cost them? Each one of these cards, the non-custom ones, cost them $1.04. So for a little, what, $13? I mean, the ROI is massive. And they're very, very successful with it. Here's the king of microbranding. His name is Joe Girard. Everyone knows who Joe Girard is. He was voted the world's number one salesman 12 years running by the Guinness Book of World Records. And how did he do it? He sent out literally over 16,000 handwritten greeting cards every month. So you say, man, how do you do that? He didn't do it by himself. He leveraged it. He had, instead of referral marketing managers, he had card writing managers. He had two or three women there, and that's all they did all month long, as they wrote handwritten cards. Sometimes Joe would just say, thank you, or I like you, and he'd send that card out. How many have ever read a book by Joe Girard? Okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I actually talked to Joe. He told me himself. That's what he did. So he's the king of microbranding. You can send out cards that are just stunning, that are different, that get people to laugh. Here's one from John Stevens. Okay, he says, he's got his son in there. He says, my dad is so weird. Can we go now? You know, and all the people who have kids are going, I relate to that, right? And she goes, bald is beautiful. All right, that's funny. It gets people to laugh. It gets people to smile. And that is a connection. You want to make an emotional connection every 20 days. Here's one. This guy, he could be a financial advisor, George Mills. So he takes a picture of himself up there talking. He goes, blah, 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 blah. And she says, this guy's amazing. Some people are easily impressed. All right? This system allows you to take a photo and upload it. And in fact, in my workshop, I'll be demoing the send-out card system. So you'll see how we can actually upload photos and do this stuff within about 30 seconds. This is something I really love to do, okay? How many of you have been on a vacation and sent a card back to everybody in your network? All right? I was down in, where was I? I think this is the Dominican Republic. This is me and my wife, okay? You know, you walk on the bottom of the water. They have these little excursions. Well, the guy's down there taking this digital photo of you, snap, at the bottom of the... You know, they don't tell you you're going to do it. They just got the guy swimming down there. And then when they get up, they, you know, for $20, you can buy that photo. Of course, we did. We bought a digital photo. We went back to the hotel, uploaded that photo in the send-out cards. We put some funny stuff on it like that. And we pushed a button. It went out to 130 of our closest friends. And we got lots of comments on this card when we got back. It took us 3 minutes. This is a cool one. I did a, believe it or not, I did a speaking engagement to a group of business owners in Nairobi, business executives in Nairobi, Kenya. And one of the perks that I negotiated was they sent me out to the Serengeti Plains. And I told the driver, I said, take me out to a tribe that, you know, like no one goes to. No, the tourist goes to. This guy drives for an hour in a Jeep. You know, I paid him good money. And he took me out to this Maasai Mara tribe, and when I got there, they let me dance with them. And, of course, their dancing, part of that includes jumping. You guys seen them on National Geographic? Right? So I was like, ooh, you know, doing the jumping with them. And I had the driver take photos of me. So I said, I'm jumping excited. This guy is crazy. So I sent that card out to my 130 people. When I got, they had a satellite internet connection back at the place we were at, out in the middle of nowhere. And 3 minutes, I sent it out to 130 people. It was fantastic. Make an emotional connection. These are sign cards. I love these sign cards. Here's one where it says, I wish I had more clients like you. And it's on a sign at the First Baptist Church. Okay, I sent this out. I sent one about 2 weeks ago to a lady named Barbara Kubrick. And I said, happy birthday, Barbara. And in the card I said, you mean so much to me that I rented out a sign for a day just to let you know that I think you're great. And she got that card, and it blew her away. It just blew her away. You didn't do that, Dave. Tell me you did not do that. Like, look at the card, you know? In my workshop, I'm going to show you how I did that in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, right off the internet. Boom, bada, bang. Anyone could do that. Okay? And here's another one I really like. This is the billboard one. Has me up on a billboard. Says, thank you for being such a great client. Okay, I showed this to Blake last night. He goes, you didn't really rent out that billboard, did you, Dave? So even the most sophisticated people can be duped, right? But this is another one of the things that I do with send out cards. Just make an emotional connection every 20 days. Now imagine if you were sending these out once every 20 days, or even once every 2 months, for heaven's sake. Do you think you would be on the top of their minds? You betcha. You betcha. Now, who can do this? Your referral marketing manager. You didn't have to do it. Okay. Another vote. Did you introduce two people in your network to each other at least once in the past 2 weeks? Now, listen to this question. Did you introduce two people that are in your network to each other at least once in the past 2 weeks? Raise your hand. Ah, this is good. This is good. We got at least 10%. That's good. It's very important. Okay, because the best practice is give referrals and be a connector for your network. This is so important. Give referrals and be a connector for your network. Because what is the law of the universe? When you give, you'll always get, right? You guys have heard Zig Ziglar's quote, right? You know who Zig Ziglar is, right? He says, you will get all that you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. A service. And you advisors are all about service. Okay? If you want to get everything you want in life, help enough people to get what they want. You need to be that guy standing right in the middle. Okay? Let me show you a method. This is called the Introduce a Professional referral method. Again, this is using cards. Okay? So a friend of mine actually did this in Houston. I gave him the idea, and it worked real well for him. Okay? So here's the idea. Okay? I haven't picked on this side yet. Here's the idea. I want five of you to stand up, all you five. Okay, so I go to a referral, one of those Chamber of Commerce meetings, and I meet these five guys, and I'm really impressed with Ken. I think he's a real sharp guy.
You're obviously easily impressed.
So modest. So I meet Ken, all right? I'm really impressed with him. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. So what I do is I go back, and I find out what Ken does, and you're a...
I'm a used car salesman.
What do you really... What do you do? You're a finance...
CFP.
You're a CFP, okay. So what I do is I send a card to these four people, and I say, I'd like you to meet Ken Evans. He's a financial planner, and I endorse him. Okay? Now, theoretically, you ought to be using his services or get to know him a little bit so you can endorse him, but you endorse him to these four people. Okay, now you go to the next meeting, and you meet five more people. Okay, so you five people right here, stand up. You text messaging your son or something. Go ahead, stand up. So I meet these five people at the next meeting, all right? And I'm really impressed with Brian. Brian loves text messaging his kids. She's like, Daddy, when are you going to come home? All right. My son sends me these. He knows my cell phone thing, and so he gets to my message saying, Dad, Mom's being mean to me. Will you please come home? She's trying to make him have dinner, you know? Makes me feel real bad. Okay, five people. Stand up. So I go to this meeting, and I meet five people, but I'm really impressed with Brian. So what I do is I come back, and I send a card to these people and these people endorsing Brian. So I go to my next meeting. Go ahead and sit down. And these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, stand up. Okay, and I'm super impressed with Clyde, all right? Clyde's a handsome fellow, very smart guy. So I do a card, and I endorse Clyde to these four people that I met, to these five people that I met, and to these five people that I met. Go ahead and sit down, thank you. So you see how it goes? You meet one person, you send a card to them. You meet one person, and then you send a card to everybody. You meet another person, you send a card to everybody. You become the connector. I have a friend whose name is Larry Benet, and this is what this guy does, man. He is the connector. I'll get a phone call once every 3 weeks, and there'll be some guy on the line says, Dave, I want you to meet this guy. Last guy was Bill Bartman. Bill Bartman was a billionaire. Billionaire. So, Dave, I want you to meet Bill Bartman over the phone. I'm like, oh. He connects people. When you connect people, people will always connect you. What is that? That's the law of the what? It's the law of the universe. When you become a connector, people will connect you. When you refer, people refer you. Okay, and so what does a card like that look like? Here's an example that I just made up. It's not a card that he uses. Okay, I take a little picture of me, and I like holding these. I go down to Office Max, and I get this white poster board. It says, I've got an important person that I think you should meet. And then on the inside of the card, on the inside bottom of the card, I say, I'd like to introduce you to David Bates. David is the best realtor in Houston and will sell your house fast at the best price. If you are moving or know someone that is moving, please mention David's name. You can reach David at that number. That's what the card might look like. And so I'm always referring people. And am I really doing it? No. Who is doing it? My referral marketing manager. Again, okay? Leverage. It's all about leverage. So this is a very, very cool thing, and it did work. This guy had, I think he did it for about 6 months. He just did this little practice where, now he was sending out 400 cards a day. I can't send out 400 cards every week. I said, you cannot afford not to send out 400 cards every week. But he jump-started his business very, very quickly. Okay. Now, have you ever referred people and they didn't refer people back to you? That ever happened to you? You get mad because you referred them, they didn't refer you back. Well, it's probably because they didn't know that you had referred them in the first place. So I use this little card called the This One's For You card. This is what I send them when I refer somebody, okay? It says, here's a referral for you. As you know, referrals are very important to both our businesses. That's why I make it a point to give referrals to high-quality business owners like you. Recently, I referred you and your business to a person and mentioned that you would be an excellent resource for them. And then on the inside of the card, on the inside left of the card, you know, I tell them the person's name that I referred so that they know if that person comes to them that I referred them. So they know that you're referring them. You're educating them. Okay, if you do this enough, you will get all the referrals you can handle. Now, who agrees of the strategies that I have already presented to you, if you just implemented two of them, that they would make a significant impact in your practice? Let me see your hands. Okay, thank you. I hope that you are writing down a checklist of some of these strategies. If you go to my workshop, I'll show you how I implement some of these strategies. Okay, here's one. Did you acknowledge at least one client's birthday in the last month? Did you acknowledge at least one client's birthday? Let me see your hands. Oh, yeah, you guys are good at this. All right, at least 40% of the room did that. That's good. That's good to hear. Okay, so a best practice is to institute a birthday card marketing program. Okay? Keith Ferrazzi wrote a book called Never Eat Alone. How many of you have read that book, Never Eat Alone? Did you like that book? Fabulous book, wasn't it? It's very, very good. He says, my personal favorite pinging occasion remains birthdays, the neglected stepchild of life's celebrated moments. It is your day. It has been since you were a kid. And even when you're 70 years old, deep down inside, despite all your protestations, a little recognition of that 70-year-old life feels good, even if you don't get a big red wagon anymore. Don't kid yourself. Everyone cares about his birthday. Everybody does. This is Mr. X. He is a real person. He asked me not to use his name because he's one of the top guys in his insurance company. He lives down in San Diego. He is a multimillionaire. He does no cold calling. He does no networking, no advertising, no publicity, and he does no asking, face-to-face asking for referrals. The man gets all the referrals he can handle using a birthday card marketing system. Now, he's been doing this for years, for years. Now he automates. He used to send out cards to automate it, but he used to do it by hand. Okay? Let me kind of open the curtains and show you what he does. Okay? Okay? What he does is he has a goal of 16 new clients every month from referrals, and he has found that 20% of the people that get cards will refer at least one person a month. So he has this activity that he wants to do, and that is send an incremental 1,000 birthday cards, 1,000 birthdays, new birthdays, every single year. So he's broken it down by days. He says he needs to get 2.6 birthdays per day. So what he has done is he has hired an assistant, and all she does is get people's birthday information. So you're going to say, how does this lady get people's birthday information, and it's a full-time job? Well, this is what she does. It actually works. She calls the client and gets children's birthday. And by the way, this is a writer downer, okay? Anything you can do for the children of your client will be 10 times more powerful than what you do for that client. Anything you can do for the children of that client will be 10 times more powerful than what you did for that client. Everyone knows why, right? Because I love my children more than life itself. And if someone else shows love to my children too and they care about them, I love that man. Or I love that woman. Okay, but if they do it to me, I think it's cool. But when they do it to my children, they're my friend for life. So anything, remember your next event. Where's Todd Johnson? He's not here. Okay. Well, do you guys remember in his thing, he says he rented out a theater for a Harry Potter screening. Now, do you think all the adults really want to come and watch Harry Potter? Maybe. I hear some, yeah, man, I love Harry Potter. Read all the books. But how many of them do you think brought kids or neighbor kids? Because he rented out the whole place. I bet most of them did, if not all of them. The more you can do for the children of the people that are your clients, the more they will fall in love with you. It's like relationships on steroids. So what this lady does is she calls the clients and the client, and then she gets the children's birthday, and then she'll say to the client, you know I love sending birthday cards. I send you birthday cards, and I send your children birthday cards. Do you have the name of 10 of your friends that I can send a birthday card to? Just a simple birthday card. Yes, so he gives them names. So then this lady calls him up and says, I am Larry's insurance agent, and I send him birthday cards. And this is going to sound like a very strange request, kind of weird, but I love sending birthday cards. Larry loves getting my birthday cards. His kids love getting my birthday cards. And strangely enough, I just want to send you birthday cards. And it's a lady doing it, by the way. So I'd like to send you a birthday card. Can I get your birthday and so I can send you a birthday card? And believe it or not, 7 out of 10 people give their birthdays. And this is how he starts to expand his network. So he's sending out hundreds of birthday cards a day. Okay, he used to do it by hand, and now he automates it. This is the inside of this system, this send-out card system. 12 days before the birthday comes due, there's a link that comes up on the web page with the name of the person and their birthday. And all you do is you click into it, and it goes right to the birthday card section. You write a birthday card, and the address already populates. You just press the button. So it takes you about 30 seconds. And I was just thinking about you today. I noticed that your birthday was coming around. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And I hope it's the best of your 85 years of your life. Just kidding, David. Okay. And so that's how he automates it. Now, it's not really how she automates it. What she does is she sets up a 5-year campaign. So she has these 5 birthday cards that are all set up in advance. And they all say the same thing, but it's very personal, very personal. And then it throws their name in, and all she has to do is put the name in once, and for the next 5 years, they get birthday cards without them even thinking about it. It's pretty cool. And this is what's going to happen. The first time they get a birthday card, they're going to go, oh, this guy's just trying to sell me something. The next time they get a birthday card, he says, oh, this guy remembered me. The third time he gets a birthday card, he says, wow, this guy really does care. And that's where a relationship really starts to happen. Okay? Now, I'll tell you one additional thing he does, is he does voice broadcasting, and he'll put a happy birthday on their phone when they don't pick up to go with the birthday card. Anyone get that? He uses automatedmarketingsolutions.com to do that.
You're talking about sending a physical card.
Physical card. No, not e-card. No.
Yeah.
Good. Physical card. That's a good question. Physical card. Okay. And you can do that to clone your best clients, too. You know, if you can just clone those 20% of your clients that bring 80% of your results, if you can just clone half of the 20% of your clients, if you can just clone one-fifth, right, Blake? One-fifth of the 20% of your clients that bring 80% of your results, you literally could double your business. You know, Blake taught me this last night. You don't have to double the amount of clients to double your business. You just need to multiply your best clients that are bringing 80% of your business, okay? One way you can do that is you simply, this has been done in this industry for quite a while, but I don't know, has anyone ever held a birthday party for one of their clients? Hold up their hands. Ever held a birthday party? Nobody? One person? Okay, that's why you're at the top of the table, man. You hold a birthday party for your clients, and what you do is you call up the wife or the husband and say, you know, I would love to... This is your best clients. These are the guys that are your friends. I'd love to throw a birthday party for him. And so he gets the contact information of all the friends. And then he sends out a birthday card to invite them all to the location. And so now he's got his best target market right in front of him. Because like people hang out together, right? It's the easiest way to clone your clients. So while you're there, don't overly do it, but you can offer a free financial assessment as a gift to everybody that's there, and then you can follow up with them. There's a number of things, actually, that you can do. We talked about the limo method, but there's a number of things you can do with them while they're there, and you got your best target market right there. Okay. Did you hold a training meeting for a group of potential referrers last month? I love this one. You guys, they're top of the table, man. You're going to love this one. Did you hold a training meeting for a group of potential referrers last month? Let me see your hands. A training meeting. Okay, nobody. Create a referral source education program. This is what I call it. It's a referral source education program. A referral source education program seeks to establish relationships of trust by providing free training of interest to your best referral sources. Let me explain how this works, okay? In fact, let me just skip this part and let me give you an example. Okay, this is called, this company is called AeroDry. And they started out near in bankruptcy. I mean, they were podunk people. And they found that their insurance adjusters were just making all kinds of mistakes. And, of course, they were having to live with the insurance adjuster's mistake. It was very frustrating. So what did they do? They held a training session for all their insurance adjusters. So they had them all come in, and they trained them on how to properly price a restoration project. Okay? And then they thought, wow, this went over well. And they started getting more referrals. They started using them more. Okay? So it worked so well that when he did his new building, he actually has a 1,000-square-foot training facility in the middle of his building. And he puts on training classes. See these training classes? FLIR and how it's used. I don't know. Do you guys know what that means? In some insurance deal. FLIR, how it's used, September 27th, 11:45 to 1, lunch provided. That's the key. Got to provide food. Provide food, everyone's there. Okay, the class is free, and you earn one CEC. So these guys got credited, okay, for the insurance adjusters. So it gives them incentives to come. Learn all about pack out inventory. So these guys bring these people in. Now when they bring people in and they train them, obviously, that is building a relationship of trust. And I mean, these guys are tight friends now. He dominates the market in his little market area. I mean, he doesn't even have a competitor. He dominates the marketplace because he does this. This is how he has built his business. When you provide, now think about your target market. What kind of training could you provide for them? Think about that. What kind of training could you provide for them? Training will add value. You must add value. You must add value. You must add value. If I want your name and email address, I better add value in order to get that from you. I don't have the right to just ask it from you. You'll probably say no, and you have every right to say no. But if I add value, then you might say yes. It invokes the law of reciprocity. You guys know what that is. The law of reciprocity is if I do something for you, you feel obligated to do something for me. It gives your referral sources a great reason to come to your office and spend time with you. Nothing better than that. It helps to educate your referral sources about what you do and what you have to offer. And it provides a way for you to joint venture with other potential referral sources. Now, this is big. It provides an opportunity for you to joint venture with other referral sources. So let's say you were targeting some business owners, okay? And let's say, what is it, Jan? You are a CPA. Okay? And of course, your MO, your main objective is to get in front of these business owners too, right? So I tell you, Jan, I'm going to have 10 small business owners from our local community come in, and I want you to teach them about financial statement analysis. Of course, that's going to bring them in droves. But I mean, something a little bit more catchy than that, you know what I'm saying?